You're listening to the Gym Class Podcast, KGYM Sports Radio.
Welcome to the Gym Class for a Tuesday here at KGYM. Welcome aboard as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour here at 3:04. Scott Unash, Mark Dukes. Isaac out today, feeling a little under the weather. Hope to have him back fully functional, 100% tomorrow. Back with us on the program. Got a good show for you coming up today. David Eicholt will join us from 24/7 Sports. Covers the Iowa Hawkeyes. He was in Dallas over the weekend at the Women's Final Four, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about the wrap to the women's and the men's basketball seasons. Talk a little spring football for the Hawkeyes with David Eicholt. That'll be coming up in just a little bit. And then Blake Bolden, the director of the Drake Relays, will be joining us in studio. We will discuss all the activities surrounding the annual Drake Relays Classic. That'll be coming up toward the end of the month down at the Big Blue Oval Drake Stadium in Des Moines. Great to have you aboard today as we take you through the 3 o'clock hour presented by DuPaco Community Credit Union. Learn how you can boost your financial well-being by going to DuPaco.com. 319-366-1600. That is a text line available to you. Again, that is 319-366-1600. Better to just text today because we are missing Isaac, and we had a lot of phone calls yesterday. Thanks to everybody who weighed in. We had a great discussion as far as the women's championship game is concerned, and championship games, talking about them. Congratulations on their fifth championship to the UConn Husky men's basketball program. They won 3 under Jim Calhoun. They won 1 under Kevin Olley, and now 1 under Danny Hurley. They get the victory last night, and they knock off San Diego State. And other than a little bit of an Aztec run about halfway through the second half, Mark, it was a UConn, I'm not going to say a breeze, but man alive, they made it look pretty simple. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Scott. Good afternoon, everyone. And it really was UConn's tournament. It rolled through things pretty handily, really. I mean, you're talking about a pretty sizable victory in the championship game, and that's kind of the way it was the whole tournament. And the Big East did very well in the tournament.
Yes, they did.
But UConn, I was happy for Dan Hurley, who's been kind of overshadowed by his dad and his brother, Bob and Bobby. They got the championship, and somebody won $500.
Yeah.
I meant to look it up, but in our KGYM I'm on Communications Bracket Challenge.
Wasn't you, wasn't me.
We weren't eligible, but not even close.
Not even close. Not even close. Well, if you were the winner, congratulations to you out there. Masters Week's continuing. We'll talk about that coming up here in just a little bit. The tee times are out. Mark, we'll get to those here in just a couple of moments. Do want to let you know what is happening with the weather, because much like it was, what, last Friday? Was that the day, or was it last Thursday?
Friday,
was it Friday? Okay. Mm-hmm. Kind of, it's part two, unfortunately. We are setting up for tonight. The National Weather Service has just issued a tornado watch that's going to go until 10 o'clock tonight. So this is going to be pushed back a little bit, back more than what it was last week. But tornado watch is in effect until 10 o'clock, and it basically covers all of east central Iowa. Basically, the entire state of Iowa, from south of Highway 20 and to the east then of US 71. So it is a big, broad area, and that will go until 10 o'clock. About the Waterloo area south, over toward Dubuque. Anything south of that, you are under this tornado watch, and again, that goes until 10 o'clock coming up this evening. Just keep an eye to the sky coming up this evening. And what's worse than having bad weather at night, because as I just said, you can't see it wrapped around rain and in the darkness. So that's a recipe for potentially some bad things to happen, but hopefully it did not get as warm today as they thought, at least yet. So maybe that is going to help us out tonight. We'll see. But
stay tuned. Stay aware. That's all we can suggest for you.
That is right. That is right. 319-366-1600 here on the Jim Class on KGYM. We'll get to an Eagles Hideaway scoreboard update for you coming up in just a little bit. David Eicholt's going to join us in a few minutes as well. Just a few things to talk about with David. We talked about the game last night. Going to be interesting to see what the final numbers were as far as viewing last night. By the way, Jim Nance, salute to him. Classy as always. His last Final Four that he is going to call. Ian Eagle is going to take over next year, and Jim Nance doing it as only Jim Nance can, with class and dignity, and deflected the limelight a little bit, but still it was, we will miss Jim.
Goodbye, friends.
What was the, he incorporated friends in there. It was great friends or something like that. It was very simple, very eloquent.
32 years, good long run, and I think Ian Eagle will do a terrific job.
He is going to do a terrific job. And yeah, you take a look at Nance, and with the golf, he's still going to do golf. He's still going to do the National Football League. And I really didn't think about this. Golf, the first part of the CBS season runs, what, 1st of February through the start of March Madness, and then they do March. He did March Madness. Goes right to Augusta. They start off with another segment of CBS-produced and televised golf events. He basically, they said, works 44 out of 52 weekends a year right now. And he's going to cut that back to, and he does not do every golf tournament, as we know. Jim has not been in the Quad Cities for several years for the John Deere Classic. I wish he would. I wish he would. But maybe he will do some more of those now. We'll have to wait and see on it, but he did 44 out of 52 weekends. That is a lot of time to be away, knowing that myself, ask my wife, even though she may enjoy the fact that I'm gone a lot. But
trust me, she does.
Yeah, I guess, but maybe that's a bad example. yeah, she's a young sung hero, and same thing with Jim Nance's wife, and he's still going to work over 30 weekends a year, so he's not going away.
He loves it.
He does. But he knew it was time maybe to step back a little bit and just not do the basketball portion of it. And like you said, Ian Eagle will do a bang up job. 319-366-1600 here on the Gym Class program on KGYM. Before we get to your Emil Sideway scoreboard update, and already a text about it, and yes, news today, the Final Four from the women's over the weekend is the fact that SportsCenter had an interview with Caitlin Clark today, and Caitlin again took the high road and said, you know what, everything that was said and done in that game with Angel Reese, myself, etc., it's part of the game. So I think it's done now, right? It's done, right?
It should be, but I don't know that it will be in some people's minds. Caitlin Clark essentially told ESPN that what Angel Reese did shouldn't be criticized. She shouldn't be criticized for it. And I guess if Caitlin Clark's okay with it, we should all be okay with it.
Agreed.
I still think there's some people out there that feel differently.
Maybe it went too far, but you know what? Caitlin's fine with it. At least that's what her public persona is. And if she's fine with it, we all should be fine with it, right?
Yeah.
Move on. It's time to congratulate LSU and again congratulate Iowa for a terrific season. And what a great crowd they had yesterday.
Yeah, terrific reception in Coralville, and a lot of folks turned out and welcomed the team back, and I thought it was cool. And now it's kind of getting in the rearview mirror, isn't it?
Yeah, which has to do with our poll question at KGYMradio.com, brought to you by Hawkeye Title and Settlement. And now that college hoops is over, what season is it currently, Mark?
It's golf season this week.
That's what I was just saying. Baseball mock draft or spring football? It's golf, man. For you and I, it's golf.
It is for this week, but I think by and large, probably baseball.
Yeah, I'd say so.
We're underway.
I mean, the mock drafts are going to come hot and heavy in the next couple weeks. We know that. Spring football, spring football doesn't have the hook that it used to have. It's more, isn't it more of an exercise in necessity now than it used to be? As far as spring football used to be, you know, you had the big game. It was on the radio. We did Iowa State broadcast of the spring game for many years. And now if you get a glorified practice at the end in front of folks, you're doing pretty good as a program.
Yeah, and different programs handle it differently. I think Iowa State is planning to go ahead with a game, right?
I believe that last I heard, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they did that last year, too.
Mm-hmm.
Did that last year, too. All right, let's get to an Emil's Hideaway scoreboard update now at 3:15. It's brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. They're on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids, right across from the Lindale Mall and next to the Home Depot.
Speaking of weather, up north, the Twins have postponed their season opener Thursday to Friday because of weather. Twins will open against Houston. Iowa LSU women drew 9.9 million viewers.
Great number.
For the championship game.
Now, that's over three platforms. Keep that in mind.
It is.
ESPN Plus, ESPN 2, and ABC.
Masters tee times are out. Thursday's opening round, 9:18. Tiger Woods will play with Victor Hovland and Xander Schauffele. 11:48 Central Time. Zach Johnson will tee off with Jason Day and amateur Gordon Sargent. And finally, Bernie Wyatt has died, the 1961 Iowa football most valuable player, recruited heavily in the East, brought in some terrific players, part of Hayden Fry's staff, then went to Wisconsin when Barry Alvarez went up there. But Bernie died April 1st at age 84.
Good man. Good man, Bernie Wyatt. 52-68, good for Caitlin Clark to take the high road. And Dave, who was 52-68, is no longer mad as hell.
Caitlin Clark, by the way, finished the sweep of national awards, winning the Wooden Award.
There you go. 2291 agrees with us. It is Masters Week and nothing else matters. Michael says, though, it is NFL draft season, and 0905 taking pity on you and I and the rest of the good folks who do sports radio, saying it's the dead season. Not sure how you sports radio guys get through it.
I got to ask you one quick question.
Yes.
You having been at the Masters.
Yes.
Okay. On TV, we hear birds chirping, and I always heard that was piped in. On the grounds, you got a lot of birds chirping.
There are.
Yeah.
Yeah, there are. But CBS does enhance. Hey, that's what they do. All right, we'll take a break, come back, and David Eicholt's going to join us, and we'll talk about the Final Four. We'll wrap up the men's and women's basketball seasons, talk a little bit about spring football and all that when we return after a look at weather and a break here in the Gym Class, KGYM.
Eastern Iowa weather on the Gym.
I'm with the first meteorologist, Garrett Hahn, with a check of your forecast. Starting off this morning, we did have a couple of severe thunderstorm warnings work their way through the area. About inch to inch and a half sized hail was, but that is the first of what we'll likely see as we head towards this afternoon. A level 4 out of 5 threat for severe storms, potential for some large hail, damaging wind gusts, and a couple of tornadoes across much of eastern Iowa. So be sure to stay weather aware as we head throughout our day today, with a few more of these thunderstorms working their way through the area late overnight tonight to early tomorrow morning, before things look a lot quieter and breezy throughout the rest of the week. And that's your latest Iowa's News Now with a first forecast.
Compost is great for your garden and a fantastic way to give your lawn a healthy lift. And it's free at the Cedar Rapids Linn County Solid Waste Agency. You can also use compost around trees and shrubs and cover them with a layer of wood chips, which are also free at the Solid Waste Agency. Get your yard and garden in shape. If you're a Linn County resident, pick up free compost and wood chips at the Solid Waste Agency location next to Mount Trashmore. Get ours and all the details at solidwasteagency.org.
How do I increase our company's web traffic?
How do we improve our Google rank?
do I justify a digital advertising spend to my boss?
Get the answers during a free digital seminar on April 11th. Join Z102.9 and CI Digital at the Marion Public Library from 9:30 to 11 that morning, or at BioVentures in Coralville from 1:30 to 3 in the afternoon. Find your digital direction. Reserve your seat now by texting BEFOUND, no spaces, to 71441. Text BEFOUND to 71441.
Tune into the gym every weekday at 5 o'clock with Todd Brommelkamp for Drive Time, driven by Linder Tire.
Back with you on the gym class here at KGYM. You see how quick I did that, Mark? We were moving along right there.
Yes, you were.
I just got back in the nick of time. Isaac will be back with us coming up tomorrow, as we've been talking about the Final Four from last night, Caitlin Clark's comments from earlier on today, and what season is it? It's Masters season. That's what it is. All right, 3:20 here on the program, and speaking of the Women's Final Four, David Eicholt, kind enough to join us here, covers the Hawkeyes for 24/7 Sports, and I would assume is trying to catch up after, man, everything that went on over the weekend associated with the Final Four. It's a lot of work, David, but boy, it's certainly worth it, right?
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys having me on. Yeah, I mean, it's been a heck of a ride so far, and you know, who knew that we'd still be talking about this days later, but it's been quite the run for Iowa women's basketball, and I'm very, very intrigued with this offseason, what they're going to do in the trajectory of the program, because obviously it was Iowa's first title appearance. The amount of Iowa fans I saw down in Dallas was unbelievable. What a season for them.
David, curious from your vantage point, what you saw in that Iowa-LSU game, and I'm talking about, you know, the Angel Reese situation, the officiating, whatnot. What did it look like from your vantage point?
And LSU making a lot of shots.
Yeah.
You know, I think people need to realize this. Iowa did not lose the game due to the officials. They lost because Jasmine Carson went crazy in the first half, and LSU put up 59 first-half points. But the officiating has to change, guys. I mean, the biggest problem I had was listening to Lisa Bluter talk about it after the game, where she said, you know, I feel like I couldn't even have a conversation with the official. I felt like I wasn't being heard. And then you have Kim Mulkey, was on the three-point line during a live ball, is almost involved in LSU sets. I made the joke earlier. I think she led LSU in minutes. And you can't have that as a coach. And you're no technical foul is assessed to her, despite her antics on the sideline. And then you're giving Caitlin Clark a technical foul for throwing the ball behind her back after during a dead ball. I thought it was frankly ridiculous. So from the officiating standpoint, I really hope they take some lessons. I really hope that it continues to improve, because the big fear I have is I've talked to a lot of people who don't watch women's basketball, but they tuned in because Caitlin Clark. And they said, you know, just given the way the officiating was and they didn't allow the players to play, I don't know if I'm going to watch it again. And I think that's a problem when you talk about, you know, it was the biggest stage that they've ever had as a sport. So from that vantage point, I think officiating needs to change. The Angel Reese Caitlin Clark thing, I think, has been blown way, way over proportion. People need to realize this. Angel Reese is a genius, because she knew exactly what she was doing for her Instagram following and her social media following. It's a highlight-driven culture. She got the videos. She got the pictures that she wanted, and she has absolutely blown up on social media. So I got to give kudos to her, and I give kudos to Caitlin for really taking the high road in this situation. Said, you know what, we need more of it. I wasn't offended at all by it. And I thought she taught a lot. I think Todd Brommelkamp said, I think Caitlin taught a lot of adults how to be an adult with her interview on ESPN today.
And I think it's behind us now. I mean, it has to be behind us. I don't know how you can make any more of this after what Caitlin said in her comments today on ESPN.
I'm with you, but then again, I mean, it is Twitter, it is social media. At this point, it's everyone's own fault if we're still continuing to talk about this. Again, I think Caitlin, she controlled what she could control, and she handled herself with class, and yeah, I really hope that this is behind us. We can focus on a lot more storylines going forward.
Do you think Iowa goes into the portal for a big girl, or is O'Grady and Stolke and the rest the right path with them?
You know, I think it's going to depend on Iowa's scholarship situation. I believe they're full on scholarships right now. If somebody leaves, I do think you need to go to the portal because Addison O'Grady, I think, has shown promise. I think she's shown flashes of playing really, really well. But you're talking about a window right now of opportunity for Iowa with NIL, with the transfer portal. Who knows who's going to enter the portal, right? But Iowa has so much to sell with NIL, with, hey, we just were in the national championship game. Hey, we have the best player in the country. And the thing about Caitlin that makes her a transcendent talent, she makes everyone better, and she loves to pass the ball. Yeah, if a post player comes to Iowa, they're not going to be the focal point. But Caitlin Clark will make sure you get 18, 20 points a game if you're capable of doing it. That's her game, and that's when Iowa will excel the best. So if somebody enters the transfer portal, I have a very hard time believing that they wouldn't explore the option. And on top of that, Jan Jensen just won National Assistant Coach of the Year, and she's been responsible for Iowa's post players throughout her coaching tenure as well. So Iowa has a very unique window of opportunity where I truly believe they could emerge as a top 10, possibly even top 5 program in the sport.
Well, that was my last comment yesterday when we finished up the hour talking about the game on Sunday and just the run. What's Iowa going to do now? Because they are in a unique situation, not only for next year, but now, I mean, you got to think that Lisa Bluter, Jan Jensen, the entire staff can go into the living room of any player in the country right now and talk to them about going to play for the Iowa Hawkeyes, which is something, you know, quite frankly, that Iowa did not possess until this year.
I agree with you 100%. I think the strategy for Iowa women's basketball needs to be, number one, convince Caitlin Clark to stay for 2 years. I think that needs to be priority number one, of course. Number two, capitalize off the momentum, continue to kind of push for people to donate to the Swarm, get that collective going, and utilize all that momentum. If you can do that, again, Iowa's in a unique position now where they can ascend with the best of the best in the sport. And obviously, Caitlin Clark's a big reason. And we haven't even talked about how Iowa, nobody's watching more games. Nobody's watching more than Iowa women's basketball in the sport. The TV ratings have proved it. Iowa women's basketball has stopped taking deposits on their season tickets. It will not surprise me if Iowa sells out next season. How many places across the country can say that? Again, it's a very unique situation, and I'm very curious to see what they do, but certainly a window of opportunity.
One of the highlights that might get lost to this season, David, in my mind, is the semifinal victory over South Carolina. Not unlike the U.S. hockey in 80 when, you know, the semifinal game was the most memorable. I'm not sure it will be in Iowa's case.
I'm with you because I believe Don Staley is one of the best coaches in the country. I believe that team could be a potential dynasty in the sport. They are going to bounce back. And Iowa was a double-digit underdog in that game. I mean, in my opinion, that was one of the bigger Final Four upsets that I can remember. It's probably going to be up near the top as far as the point spread and Iowa pulling it off. So I'm with you. I think even if you go into a recruit's home, if you think back on the season, that's got to be a highlight. And on top of that, it's probably one of the biggest highlights in Iowa athletics history because that's what put them into the national championship for the first time in program history. They dethroned the Queens, right? I mean, they were undefeated. Everybody was picking them. Why wouldn't you pick them? They won 42 straight games, and Iowa had such a perfect strategy defensively. Let them shoot. Just don't give up second-chance points. So I'm with you. I think it's going to be forever remembered, and given the response with the team coming back yesterday, with as many Iowa fans that went down to Dallas just to go watch them, you're going to have a hard time convincing me that that's probably not a top-three game in Iowa athletics history.
Yeah, right up there. David Eichel joining us here at 3:29, Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Before we leave women's basketball here, we talked yesterday, Monica Sinano and her legacy. coming in from the shadows of Megan Gustafson. I mean, we remember when Monica was the O'Grady to what O'Grady was to Sinano. She was to Megan Gustafson. And what Jan Jensen did for her career, and maybe Jan can work some magic again. But just what Monica Sinano, where she came from point A to the end of her career, is pretty outstanding.
No, absolutely. And again, it's important to bring that up when you think about this team. It's not just all about Caitlin. Monica, you're talking about a four-time All-Big Ten post. You're talking about somebody who has admitted herself, and the coaches have talked about, her jump shot was broken as a freshman. It was ugly. She was not recruited very highly, and Iowa developed her. And the uniqueness of her game, I think, needs to be showcased. I think she took two dribbles through the entire NCAA tournament. That's so just unfathomable to me, because dribbling opens up so many different post moves and different things you can do with a basketball. Knowing, if you're a defender, you know what she's going to do. You can't stop it. That short corner jumper, the two-step drop step, the over-the-shoulder right-left, the baby hook, her variety of post moves and her efficiency. I believe she was a 67% career shooter. Absolutely spectacular. I believe she's the third highest leading scorer in program history. And I think you could argue that her and Caitlin are probably one of the best, you know, post guard duos in Big Ten history. So I think Monica certainly etched herself in the history, not just Iowa women's basketball, but Iowa athletics in general.
Men's basketball recruiting, David, and I know your colleague Sean Bach is heavily into this as well, but where does Iowa stand in terms of Josh Cohen, B.J. Mack, and others?
Yeah, so I think the important thing is for Iowa, they're getting these guys on campus, right? So Josh Cohen from St. Francis averaged 21-9, had a couple of huge games this past season against Ohio State, Minnesota, put up double-doubles. He is visiting Iowa this weekend. Sean Bach teased it last weekend. It became official, I believe, yesterday. And then you think about Jordan Miner, who's a Merrimack transfer, defensive player of the year. I think he's probably one of my favorite bigs in the portal. He's officially visiting Iowa April 15th and 16th. And a little bit surprising to me that Iowa made the top five for B.J. Mack, and they're getting him on campus. I do think ultimately he ends up in the SEC, but Iowa getting him on campus for his third of five official visits, I certainly think that's promising. So Iowa's still in the mix for numerous players. They're talking to Bradley transfer, Rink Mass, and Belprez would transfer, Ben Creakey as well. So Iowa is going very, very aggressive for a post player in the portal. So I know a lot of people have been upset with Fran's willingness to go into the portal, but having traction with at least three, four to five different players, I certainly think people should be at ease right now with that situation.
Is Evan Bronze, is that all but official, even though it has not been made official?
I don't want to speak for him, but I do believe that at this point, I would be surprised if he's not in Iowa City, but there's been nothing official.
Okay. All right. David Eicholt joining us here. A few more minutes at 3:33 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. How about this Iowa basketball team, the men's basketball team, and how they are going to be remembered? And things that, I mean, college men's basketball as well as women's basketball is so different now than it was even 5 years ago, because you have no idea who your opponents are going to have on the court for them next year. You have no idea who you are going to have on the court for next year. We know Aaron Ulis is gone. I think Tony Perkins, by all indications, is going to stick around. Got a Bowen, as of right now, still a member of the Iowa basketball team. You got another point guard coming in, a freshman from Moline. Price Sanford coming in. I think he's going to help right away. What about this team going into next year?
Yeah, I think this is a very critical offseason for Fran. Obviously, him attacking the portals, a good start. I think Iowa NIL-wise, I'm interested to see what they do, because it's going to start costing to get transfers, and I'm very intrigued how Iowa's going to approach that situation. But I'm a big Price Sanford guy. I think he's going to come in and be an immediate contributor. I don't know how much pressure they're going to put on him. Maybe he has a role similar to what Peyton's was as a freshman, and I think Peyton Sanford is going to be the focal point of the offense. He strikes me as a guy that could get I'm serious, 18 to 21 points a game with a few 30-point outbursts. He just has that sort of hot streak. His range is limitless. He can shoot the ball out of the gym. You have to start guarding him, I think, in the parking lot. So I think that's going to be a big key. But I do think also Iowa needs to go after a playmaking point guard. I think DeSante Bowen can get there. I think he has that sort of athleticism. I think he's still trying to work on his speed of the game and really controlling the pace of the game. But you look at these NCAA tournaments and the teams that make runs, they got consistent playmaking guards. I think Tony Perkins can certainly take that leap. We've seen him have massive games. I'm curious if he can string together some more consistency next season. But right now, I do think there are a lot of question marks going into next season, but who they get as a post player will at least give me a rough idea about how this team's going to look. At the end of the day, though, Frey McCaffrey's teams are always going to score points, but are they going to be able to offer some more resistance? That's going to be the big question for me.
David, spring football underway, of course. What does Iowa want to accomplish this spring, and maybe let us in on a couple new faces we might see in the fall?
Yeah, so I think the big thing that I know is today, even with Cade McNamara, was in full pads. That's not something I anticipated. I don't think many people anticipated. I don't know if he's going to play in the spring game quite yet, but based on the update we got a few weeks ago, I did not think he was going to be in full pads. So that's encouraging. I think Iowa right now, they're just trying to polish up some things. I think you need to look at the wide receiver depth. I think you need to look at the offensive line depth, because you can have a quarterback that can make plays, but if nobody's blocking anything, you know, that might be a bad sign. But the big thing for me also is I look at Eric All. He's fully healthy. He's going through all this stuff. And I think him and Luke Lachey could have a Fanton Hawkinson-type season, Fanton Hawkinson-type impact. I think these guys could be two of the league's best tight ends. I think they could be two of America's best tight ends. I think they need to be a big focal point of the offense. I'm curious how Cade develops that chemistry with Luke Lachey. So I know we haven't talked about the special teams or the defense, but I do think those questions, as long as you have LeVar Woods and Phil Parker, that they're going to be able to find answers to. So all my eyes are, they are on the offensive line specifically, because even if there's wide receivers that can't catch the ball, you have a Caleb Johnson who could become one of the Big Ten's best running backs and be a breakout candidate nationally this upcoming season as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. The defense, I think, is going to be fine. Torrey Taylor already up for national awards. And, you know, and it doesn't take a genius to figure out, okay, both Brian and Kirk said in the offseason, the offensive line's got to get better. All eyes are going to be on whoever those five are up front.
Absolutely. I think that's going to be the big make or break if Iowa wins the West or not, is if they can have some sort of consistency on the offensive line. I think getting guy John Parker on campus is big, and we'll see if Logan Jones can make a big jump in that middle. I think that would really, really help settle the offensive line. So I think moving Colby back to guard, I think he has a good shot at regaining some momentum he garnered as a freshman, and I'm still a big believer in Mason Richmond. So the guys they have up front, I think, are capable of doing it. We gotta see at this point. So it's make or break.
David, last from me, and it has to do with Brian Ferentz and the 25 point per game threshold that has been placed on him, and that's a team thing, not an offense thing, I believe. Why go public with this when people are going to be watching every game to see, well, maybe Iowa will stuff another touchdown in there to pad the average?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was one of the biggest PR blunders in Iowa Athletics history, the fact that they did that. That should not have been public, and if you're going to make it public, you need to say 25 offensive points, because, guys, Cooper DeJean was second on the team in touchdown receptions as a cornerback. I mean, that's a problem, right? So if you have Cooper DeJean and then you have him returning punts and kicks, I mean, it's not going to surprise me if he gets another couple of touchdowns there. How many field goals? You have Drew Stevens, who had a great freshman season. I don't see the point. And on top of that, seven wins in a bad Big Ten West, when you return a lot of key pieces, when you're probably going to be the preseason favorite for the Big Ten West, from my standards and what I think this Iowa team can be capable of, if Iowa does not win 10 games this upcoming season, I would consider the season a disappointment, just given the way the schedule lines up and the fact that's the best opportunity, I think, for Kirk Ferentz to get a Big Ten title, because after this year, USC, UCLA are joining, and the divisions are gone. So I'm with you. I think that was just a horrible look by Iowa. It was not smart to do, and it's not going to stop the punchline jokes.
Or the Twitter accounts.
I don't even think Elon could stop the Twitter account. For this point, guys.
I agree with you. I agree with you right there. Well, a lot of spring football to come, and then a little bit of a lull. And, hey, baseball and softball off to good starts, too. So we'll see how it all plays out. But a fun weekend in Dallas. Thanks for the information, David. Appreciate it as always. Keep up the great work at 24/7 Sports, and talk with you again soon.
Hey, thanks, guys. I appreciate you having me on. Take care. Stay safe.
You bet. David Eichel joining us here on the gym class here on KGYM at 3:40. A lot to digest right there. And Leo in Iowa City letting us know that Avery Anderson from Oklahoma State just entered the transfer portal. Says Iowa should go after Avery Anderson.
All right.
That'd be a good one. But I think about, let's see, 58 others are going to go after Avery Anderson. It's just different, man. This is just, it's so crazy. I mean, last night, less than a half hour after Connecticut won the championship, two folks already, two entities came out with their preseason top 25s for next year. Think about that. And they're,
you know how I feel about it.
I know. And hey, you should be happy. You had to be smiling. And I thought of you last night when they said Connecticut and San Diego State were both not in the top 25 in preseason basketball.
Okay. All right.
We're going to call that first poll in January, the Mark Dukes college basketball poll. And we're going to call the first poll in mid-October the Mark Dukes college football poll. Because
okay,
that's when you say it should start. And I don't disagree with you. Because it's going to be the same 20. They put it out last night. It's the same 25 teams. Hey, North Carolina didn't make the tournament, but they're going to be back, man. Texas will be fine without three guys that are going to the NBA. And they probably will be. Keep in mind, Big 12 is going to be even tougher next year, I think, in basketball. Even though they lose some really good players. With Houston coming in and the rest into the fold, BYU, et cetera, et cetera.
True.
That's going to be a really, really tough league. David is a good guest, says 5123. Thank you for agreeing about that. 3:42 on a Tuesday edition of the Gym Class here on KGYM. We're going to take a break, come back, and we're going to preview the Drake Relays. Blake Bolden is going to join us here in studio. So stay with us. More to come after this here on KGYM.
Okay, on the grass, but out of the street. Perfect.
Why are you raking your leaves to the curb?
Tomorrow's our garbage day, so the leaf vacuum will be around too.
Leaves just go in your yardie cart, don't they?
You can, but this time of year you can also rake them in a long row on the grass beside the street, and the vacuum truck will pick them all up.
I don't have time to rake right now.
That's okay, they'll be picking up through April 28th on garbage day. You've got time.
How do you know all this?
I got the message from crnewsnow.com.
Oh, I didn't get the message.
Get the message. Go to crnewsnow.com.
This is an important notice to consumers facing $10,000 or more in credit card debt, medical bills, or other unsecured debt. You're not required to pay it all back because there are special programs now in effect that will significantly reduce the amount you will owe if you qualify. This is not bankruptcy or a debt consolidation loan. These programs, which the credit card companies like to keep secret, exist to aid American consumers struggling with overwhelming credit card debt by offering tremendous savings and real debt relief. Accredited Debt Relief has established a special hotline for you to call and learn what savings you qualify for. They've helped qualify consumers with over $1 billion in debt and are A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau. So don't wait. Get the relief you need during these hard economic times. For this free information, call the Accredited Debt Relief Hotline now. Call 800-351-4242. 800-351-4242. That's 800-351-4242.
Enjoy cleaner, safer, and more private internet daily. Be more cyber zen. Catch the special deal now at nordvpn.com. with a few simple clicks. NordVPN will block online trackers and hide your virtual location. It will secure your devices from malware-infected downloads and block access to malicious websites. Enjoy Internet without trackers. Internet without malicious websites. Internet without malware-ridden files. Imagine your data more secure, your connection protected. Zen. Catch the special deal now at NordVPN.com. NordVPN, cybersecurity built for every day.
Get 11% off everything at Menards. Dutch Boy has the best paints at the best prices. Pick out the perfect color. We offer free custom color matching and tinting to create thousands of color options. With Dutch Boy's easy opening, smooth pouring container, transforming your home has never been easier. A gallon of DuraClean interior flat paint is $21.97 after 11% rebate. Good through April 9th. Savings are mail-in rebate. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Save big money at
3:45 back on the Gym Class Tuesday edition here on KGYM. Coming up tomorrow, our first edition of Caddy Smack on the Gym Class. Going to talk golf. We're going to talk with our friend Brian Haas. He's going to join us live from somewhere on the grounds at Augusta National tomorrow. Not guaranteeing where on the grounds, but somewhere on the grounds that he is allowed to have a phone.
It's got to be outside the facility, isn't it?
Could be in the practice area, something. I don't know.
He'll make it happen.
We're going to find out. Brian's got some, he's got some ties, you know.
Phones are allowed at the Drake Relays.
Yes, they are. to record things, et cetera, records, hopefully, abounding this year. And Blake Bolden, the director of the Drake Relays, joining us here in studio for the first time in several years. It's good to have you back.
Yeah, great to see you both. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and here we are around the corner. Now that all the basketball is behind us here, now we can concentrate on track and field.
Yeah, that's right. I heard the open of the show where there's some debate on what season it is now that basketball is behind
now
us.
Now you're saying track season.
Well, there's thousands of kids across the state and many coaches and a lot of folks at the university level, high school level, even the middle school level where it is track season, and excited to be here to talk about it.
Comes up later this month. One of the events that I think is really cool is this shot put exhibition.
Yeah.
I mean, to see a guy who can throw the shot 75 feet or near close
to it. Yeah, he can. I think he can throw it over 76 feet. That's where he's at, and he's not just a once in a generation talent, like once in a world talent, at least as it stands right now. And we're talking about Ryan Krauser, who those folks in Des Moines have really gotten to know Ryan to a degree. In 2018, he came to Des Moines during Drake basketball season and put on a show at halftime as a slam dunk competition. I mean, he's 6'8", 310 pounds, and can get his elbows over the rim. I mean, he's literally among the most explosive athletes in the world of any body type, and he has reinvented the shot put as an art form, and he's coming with bad intentions to set a world record in historic Drake Fieldhouse. We picked that as a venue because we have to make sure this is ratifiable. So the it's not like a hot dog eating contest on the 4th of July where, you know, anything can be called a world record. You have to have multiple surveys done, very painstaking process, including drug testing. In fact, the moment he throws a world record, we'll have to impound his implement, and after the competition, his shoes, ship them to Monaco for further inspection. So it's really a thorough process. And one thing that we know, and Ryan knows, he's very excited about, he trusts the officials and the organization in Des Moines with this. He did have a throw over 76 feet earlier this year that, due to some technicalities, was unable to be ratified, and he only found that out after we had a press conference for him in Des Moines. So his dad called one of our folks last night. His coach is calling. He is all in on this and wanting to make sure we're ready to ratify a world record, and it's going to be exciting. And when we had a press conference last week, he said, hey, track fans in Iowa, I asked him, hey, what's the message that you have for the folks in Iowa, your supporters? He said, listen, you got to be there. And the louder you are, the farther I'm going to throw. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be a fun night. and not to be outdone. I mean, that's you can't really outdo a world record holder. But on the women's side, we've created this competition, and Mark, you used the word exhibition because it is a competition, but it's a first of its kind team competition where he's the number one shot putter in the world for the men. We're bringing in the number one shot putter in the world for the women, Chase Ealy. She's the reigning world champion. She was undefeated in 2022, first American to win the world championships for the women's shot put. They're going to go head-to-head with a mixed-gender team competition, so they'll be paired with different teammates. they've got a little bit of a rivalry. Just in, you know, when I asked him, hey, do you think you can beat Chase? And he just joked and said, you know, in a press conference, hey, you know what? Chase likes to talk. Hopefully she can throw like she talks or, you know, something. I'm paraphrasing.
Sounds like you're borrowing from the Live Tour or something like that.
or women's basketball.
Yeah, and it's going to be a fun night. And they're friendly competition. But it does bring the best out of both of them. She's the American record holder. So while we're talking very first and foremost about a world record for the men, she's the American record holder for the women. So and it's a free event. We're going to have food trucks. It's the day right before the Drake Relays get started with the high school competition, university competition in the stadium. So we're going to have live on MediaComp 22 for those that can't make it to Des Moines. But really a terrific and exciting night for the sport of track and field, but for really just the community in Iowa to come. And we'll have beer sales, food truck, live DJ. I've asked each of the throwers to pick out a walk-up song. So really trying to make it, you know, an intimate, fun, exciting event.
Yeah, it is. And of course, not only have world-class athletes, record holders, medalists, et cetera, et cetera. You mentioned the high schoolers. I think as of today, I saw there's 120-some-ish between the boys and the girls. It's growing every day.
Absolutely, it is. That's right.
Growing every day. But you're going to do something different this year with the one-mile runs.
Yep.
You're going to have a little bit of a Midwest all-star competition, if you will.
Yeah, we've opened it up for the 1 mile run only, and it may happen again in the future or may not. But right now we're at a historic moment, particularly in boys track and field. You know, since 1954 and before, the Drake Relay, or excuse me, the world has been captivated by the 4 minute mile. Well, for the first time ever in 2022, there were two high school juniors that have run under 4 minutes for the mile, and they both happen to be in the Midwest. So while we don't do active recruiting or promotion of high school students, we worked very diligently with the support of the, or in collaboration with the Iowa High School Athletic Association, to at least open it up to give those athletes the opportunity to experience the Drake Relays and for our fans to see them. And, oh, by the way, there's an Iowa high school kid who is dead set on breaking 4 minutes for the mile at the Drake Relay. So that's Friday night, April 28th. And, you know, world record maybe on Wednesday, but coming down on Friday to see real history in an Iowa high school athlete, you know, chasing a historic mark that really, I was fortunate as an athlete to break 4 minutes for the mile. It is something that everyone can identify with. It's like climbing Mount Everest that happened around that same time in the 1950s. And similarly, it still captivates the imagination. And now it's become a real possibility for Iowa high school athletes.
Let's touch on some of the maybe Olympic medalists, record holders. Maybe too many to mention. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's exciting. We talked about Chase and Ryan. They're both coming back for the stadium. We will see, still working on confirmations and public announcements. We've got at least two other Olympic champions on the track that we'll be announcing in the days ahead. And on Thursday, we'll have another special announcement that I'll share with you guys first here. Just we want to start getting the word out. Right now, we're focused on the high school athletes that you hit on, because every day I go home and Mike J will send a note and there's 5 or 10 more kids that have hit one of these blue standards. And they're doing it when the weather's, like you said,
not
to open
great.
The show. Yeah. You know, there's the big meets here in Eastern Iowa have already been canceled for tonight. They were canceled on Friday. And yet these kids are still finding ways to thrive, hit these blue standards. And I want to frame those blue standards one more time by saying, we create those, and our high school selection committee creates those every year based on the top 25% of the historic qualifiers for the Drake Relays. Mm-hmm. Not the top 25 in the state or the country, but of the kids that do qualify for the Drake Relays, this is the top 25% of those. And as you mentioned, we have more than 120 already, and it's just more and more by the day. And every year, those standards move a little higher and better because Iowa kids keep getting better. But the announcement I alluded to that I want to get ahead of and give you guys breaking news. We haven't shared it anywhere else. On Thursday, we'll be announcing the addition for the first time ever of an elite women's hammer throw and an elite men's hammer throw.
Okay.
Hammer is a heavy steel ball on the end of a 2-foot chain with a handle on it. They spin around and throw it a couple hundred feet. So it's not something that we do in Iowa high schools, but it is an art. It is the perfect combination of the way I've been saying it as I think through it, ballet mixed with medieval warfare, because you are truly spinning in a very artistic way, releasing it perfectly timed, and then watching this sail 250, 260 feet. So for the women, we have the reigning world champion, Lindsay Anderson. She's coming. It'll be a thrill to see her go against a head-to-head with a world-class field. We started recruiting the women, and all just in the last week, the top four men in the U.S. are all ranked in the top 14 in the world, and the American record holder, Rudy Winkler, contacted them all and said, hey, guys, we can't let the women outshine us. We got it. They contacted me individually to say, hey, we need to put on a men's hammer at Drake, so we're going to do them both. Right. And the reason that's 3 weeks from Thursday, the reason we're trying to get ahead of that a little bit is we've never hosted any elite events on Thursday aside from the distance carnival. So that does mean with our high school boys and girls shot put and discus, we'll reshape that schedule because we only have so many throwing rings, and we want to make sure that the high school throwers can be there to see this event. They maybe have never even seen the implement, let alone the American record holder.
I bet your bodyguard behind you probably good back in the day.
Mike Mahon's an expert in media relations, track and field history, and driving me to your studio. I don't know if he's ever thrown the hammer.
SID extraordinaire.
Yeah, no doubt. DrakeRelays.org is where you can go get all the information, April 26th through the 29th for the 113th running. Should mention that if you're a fan of Iowa State, UNI, and Drake, come down and watch too, because right now the track is really good at the collegiate level.
Absolutely. You know, all four of those programs have not just national athletes, but really Iowa and Iowa State, both teams that can compete at the national level, and both UNI and Drake have individuals that have scored at the national championships. So really exciting there. And the small colleges, mm-hmm. you know, in your listenership, there's many of them that have not just All-Americans, but team trophies. So when we talk Warburg and Loras and the American Rivers Conference at the Division III levels, as good as it gets. So it's going to be a terrific, you know, championship type energy around the Drake Relays again this year. And today, single session tickets went on sale. We're already headed toward our 57th consecutive Saturday sellout. So those best seats, if you know one of your loved ones or community members have already hit their blue standard, today's the day to get those best seats.
Check it out at DrakeRelays.org. And Blake, great to have you stop by.
Terrific to see you both. Thanks for having us on.
Good to see Mike, too. Back there in the background. But always appreciate you guys stopping by. And we'll look forward to the 113th running.
Thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks again for having me in.
You bet. They're going to wrap things up here on the program, and we'll be back with you, as I mentioned, with Caddy Smack tomorrow here, beginning at 3 o'clock, probably about 3:15, 3:20 or so is when Brian is going to get in touch with us from Augusta coming up tomorrow. And also, we will talk a little bit about the news of the day coming up tomorrow with you as well, here on the Gym Class on KGYM. And stay tuned. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show coming your way next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock. And if you missed anything, podcast will be available coming up in just a little while. That will be at KGYMradio.com. We'll also have a Bowling Night in America preview tomorrow.
Because it's sponsored and we must.
And we did well last week.
Talk to you tomorrow.
All right. You've been listening to the Gym Class here on KGYM. Thank you very much for joining us. We're back with you tomorrow again, and that will be at 3 o'clock. So make your plans to stop on by. Todd next from 4 o'clock until 6 o'clock here on KGYM.
With one of the best savings rates in America, banking with Capital One is the easiest decision in the history of decisions. Even easier than choosing Slash to be in your band.
Next up.